Just turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 15, if you would. Very well-known passage to many of us. And it's Jesus speaking to Peter. So Matthew 16, verse 15. "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And that well-known phrase in verse 18, just want to think about briefly. The gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not prevail or overcome it. That is the rock, the church of God. "I will build my church," Jesus says, "and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's an extraordinary statement when you think about it, because it's a picture of the church not on the defensive. It's a picture of the church on the offensive. Against the gates of hell and seeking to invade hell itself and to rescue the lost. That's an amazing image that we have there, isn't it? The church on the offensive. And within the ministry that I'm involved with, Sat7 television ministry in the Middle East, the church is under great pressure. In various countries around the Middle East and North Africa, Christians can be, at the very least, maybe not get positions within business that they would get if they were not Christians. They may not have access to education that they would get if they weren't Christians. And then you can go right the way through to, in some countries like Iran and maybe even Afghanistan, places like that, where actually to stand up and say that you are a Christian could cost you your life, or at least life imprisonment. And so the church is under tremendous pressure. And yet, from our experience of ministering in that region, the church is also on the move. You see, when the church comes under pressure, then it seems to, and this is, if you read the early parts of Acts, where the church was under pressure, then that's when the church was really, really active. And so there's something about the church being under pressure that brings out this activity, because what are people doing? They're relying on the strength of God alone and not on their own strength. But it's an amazing thing, isn't it, that God promises that he will build his church. Now, sometimes, even in our country, that seems hard to see sometimes. Because we see a lot of traditional churches sort of closing, congregations dwindling. But God's promise is sure. He will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail, not overcome it. It's an amazing thing. And sometimes, in faith, we just have to stand on God's promises. But it's tremendously encouraging, isn't it, that God's promises are sure and certain. I want to show you a video now, which is actually, it's a sort of an overview of our Arabic language broadcasting channels. Sat7 broadcasts in Arabic, in Farsi, into Iran and Afghanistan, and also Turkish, into Turkey and the surrounding Turkic people's nations. And we broadcast from studios in the Middle East. So this is a sort of a showreel, an overview of our Arabic language programming. The voiceover is done by an English-speaking Arab. English is his first language. Now, it was made in our studio in Egypt, and it's quite an unusual voiceover, but I hope that you'll be able to sort of tune into it. Just remember, it's an Arab speaking his second language, which is English. So let's just move on to that. Broadcasting now right across the Middle East and North Africa. Currently broadcasting to 25 million regular viewers, the majority of whom are from a non-Christian background. And the response that we get on a daily basis actually is incredible. Around 800, 900 people every day contact us asking for more information about the Christianity, asking for prayer, sharing their testimonies. And so it's really exciting what God is doing. But I think the message that came through on that video is that we are seeking to encourage unity of the church in the Middle East. And as we know, encouraging unity of the church is not easy, even in the UK. and so it's difficult in the Middle East as well. But by God's grace, we're bringing together lots of different elements of the church, lots of traditions of the church, and helping each one to respond and to encourage one another in the Middle East right now. So it's exciting. So we see, even under pressure, God's promise of building his church and that the gates of Hades will not overcome it, even in somewhere like the Middle East. I think I've told you this before, that I was speaking to a Syrian pastor a couple of years ago. I was in Lebanon, and the Syrian pastor was in our studio. And he was telling me about his church in Syria. And he was saying, we've never seen so many people coming into our church. Even though there's war and very difficult to be a Christian, so many people are seeking truth, and churches in Syria have never been so full. And so even through adversity, even through war, then God is building his church. That's really encouraging, isn't it? Our mission is to provide the churches and Christians in the Middle East with an opportunity to witness for Christ and to show the church in action. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like you to just open them again to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. And verses 10 to 12. There's one aspect of this passage which really stood out to me a few months ago, and is very, very powerful. So Revelation 12, verses 10 to 12. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. An interesting passage. But the verse that I want to concentrate on for a short while now is verse 11. They triumphed over him. That's they, that's the children of God, believers, Christians. They triumphed over him. Now that is Satan, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. Isn't that incredible that the testimony of believers of how Christ's love pursued them and saved them has the power to destroy the devil and his works? Isn't that incredible? Now, if you're like me, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church I went to church as an embryo, I think. And so I grew up in a church environment, an evangelical church environment. But it was sort of through the 70s. And a lot of what was taught as evangelism was very much sort of, it's something you do as a group. So you get, you've got gifted evangelists who come up and come into your community, and maybe they put up a tent and they'd hold rallies and people would flock along. And that's the way I grew up to think about evangelism. And there's nothing wrong with that. It played its part. But I think evangelism is far more than that. And here we see the power of Satan being overcome by the individual testimonies of believers. And I was just encouraged when I read these words recently that the power we all have as believers in our testimony to actually go into dark places and to bring light. When I was growing up, I used to hear lots of sort of individual testimonies, but they all tended to be people who come from really bad backgrounds, drug addicts or bank robbers or something. And they give these, when I was sort of 8-10 years old, I'd sit in services and they give these testimonies, and I'd be enthralled by their story. Until the point where they came to become Christians. Then it all seemed to be very boring. So as an 8-year-old, I was intrigued by these people who had these incredible lives, really bad lives, before they became Christians. And I got that into my mindset. And actually, going as I grew as a Christian, I thought, well, you know what? I don't really have a testimony that engages with others. Because I've not been particularly bad. I've not robbed a bank. I've never been a drug addict. I've never been an alcoholic and all that sort of stuff, which is visible signs of brokenness. And so growing up, I thought, well, I've got really nothing to share from my personal life. But, you know, that is a lie. Because the truth of giving testimony is to share not with what has happened ages ago, but also to share what God is doing in your life right now. What are you learning from God right now in what is happening in your life? How is God teaching you? How is God shaping you? How is God building your faith? How is God helping you to overcome the pressures of life that you face right now? And when we share the reality of our everyday lives and what seems to be mundane, when we share our story with those who aren't Christians, then it's incredibly powerful. I recently joined a different gym, and I went for an induction, as you do when you join a gym. So these physical trainer took me through all the exercises just to make sure I wasn't going to die of a heart attack or something. And but got talking to him, and he it turns out he's an ex-para, he'd been out in Iraq and all over the place. He'd served a lot in the Middle East, but he came out of that with post-traumatic stress disorder, a drug addiction. When he came out of the military, he went right way down. And he's still struggling with this stuff, but he's coming back up. But broken relationships all stems from abuse in his childhood from his father. Just trail of devastation really in his life. And just struggling to get by each day now. And so I was able to just share some of the stuff that's gone on in my life with illnesses and things like that, and how just simply finding strength in God and sharing these things with God and allowing God to take control has meant that I have been able to get through them and grow in them. And that was the start of an ongoing conversation. Next week I'm meeting him for a drink, and it's friendship. I'm just going to have the opportunity to talk again. But you know, when we share the reality of our faith in our everyday life, then that's powerful. We don't have to have dramatic conversion stories. We don't have to have a really bad past life to be able to share what God is doing in our lives, because that's truth. When we think of testimony in the legal sense, we go into court and we are asked to tell the truth. We are asked to tell the truth, not to embellish it, not to make it something different, not to give our opinion, but to tell the truth. What we saw as witnesses, what we saw, and that's what our testimony is. What we have seen God do in our lives and is still doing in our lives on a daily basis. And so I'd encourage you, if you're a believer here today, don't be put off from just sharing what God is doing in your life with those that you meet day by day. One of the things that, because our testimonies are so powerful, one of the things that Satan wants us to do is not share our testimony. I don't know about you, but I used to get really scared about telling people that I was a Christian. And now I understand why. Because our testimony has the power to overcome Satan. When we realize the power of our testimony, then we understand why Satan does not want us to share the reality of our lives with Jesus, with other people. Your testimony, my testimony, it may seem quite simple to us, but just sharing the reality of our daily walk with Jesus, with somebody who doesn't yet know him. It may be just saying, look, I know your struggles. I go through similar things. Can I pray for you? Can I pray with you? That may be all it takes. We had a neighbour some years ago who was going in for an operation, not a Christian. My wife said to her over the fence, the garden fence, one day, she was waiting for a hip operation, that was it, and long wait, and she was in a great deal of pain, quite an elderly lady, and my wife just felt quite helpless, really, apart from saying, Ruth, is it okay if we pray for you? And that, just offering to pray with that lady, was the start of actually what was a very short time in her coming to know Jesus. And now her and her husband are Christians and very, very active, although they're elderly, very active in their church. And so it may seem insignificant to us what we share of our faith, but it can change lives, and we can be invading hell and saving the lost. No wonder the devil puts these lies into our head that no one will be affected by what we share. We listen to these lies, and we tend to think that if we share what we believe, then people will think we're odd or we're stupid. But that's because Satan doesn't want us to share, because he knows the power of our testimony. One of the things that we do with Sat7 is, as a TV channel, we are really a conduit, a platform, almost like a stage for people to share their testimonies in the Middle East, for Middle Eastern Christians to be able to share what God has done and is doing in their lives, because it's powerful. And so I just want to finish off now, before we sing, is to show you a testimony of a little girl, and a little Iraqi girl, who came to know Jesus actually through the terrible horrors of having to run away from ISIS, from Islamic State, when they invaded her part of Iraq. So I'll just try and bring this up. Well, that little girl, through adversity, came to know Jesus. And just to think that her testimony went out on Sat7, our children's, Sat7 Kids, our children's channel, which is watched by about 8 million children across the Middle East. And so her simple testimony would have gone out, and who knows the impact of that testimony on the lives of many, many other children across that war-torn and often difficult place to be as a Christian. So we can praise God that he is building his church. We are his church. We are part of the church. And the power of the church through God's Spirit is huge. We have the power that actually invades hell, and hell's gates cannot overcome it. And also, as individuals, we each have a testimony, if we know Jesus, of what he is doing and has done in our lives. And by sharing that, even simply, can actually save the lost. Has amazing power. Indeed, it has the power to overcome the work of Satan himself. Isn't that incredible? I just wanted to encourage you, because it's not of us. It's not what we do for God. It's what he has done for us. That verse, the beginning of that verse says, they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the starting point. It's Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and for me that allows us to have that testimony of our relationship with him that can be so powerful in changing lives and overcoming Satan's work. So may God bless us as we understand the power that is ours in Christ to change lives. Shall we sing to close? And Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Lord, we thank you that you are building your church and that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Lord, we thank you that we are part of that church, that you have drawn us in by your grace and your love and your mercy to be part of your body here on earth. We thank you for that privilege, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you too that we can each have a relationship with you. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of sharing that relationship with others. We thank you for all that you're doing in each one of us, Lord God. And we pray that even this week, we would have the opportunity and the boldness just to be able to share something of what you're doing in our lives with those who don't yet know you. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into your care now. We pray that you take us to our homes in safety, that you bless us through the week, that you keep us safe. Watch over those who couldn't be here for whatever reason, Lord, particularly those who are laid aside with illness. Lord, we pray a special touch upon them. So we offer ourselves to you with thanksgiving and ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.